The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. Welcome to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour with your hosts, Mr. Al Foreman and licensed nutrition counselor, Janet Cimarelli. The Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour brings to you the very latest nutrition information, and the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers bring you EDLP. More about EDLP during the show. Here are your hosts, Al Foreman and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist.
Start spreading. Good morning, everyone, and welcome once again to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. I'm Janet Cimarelli, and for the next hour, lots and lots of great information on how to keep ourselves well with herbal medicine. And for any of our listeners out there who might have been confused about what herbs go with other herbs, what herbs you can have with different diet choices, lots and lots and lots of great information. And joining me today, we have a very special guest, Dr. Mary Bove, and she is a doctor of naturopathy and a midwife with special classifications in phytotherapy, herbal medicine, and getting further into naturopathic pediatrics. So this is such an important area of discussion because there are a lot of questions about it. She's the author of the Encyclopedia of Natural Healing for Children and Infants and the co-author of Herbs for Women and Herbal Remedies for Children. So good morning, Dr. Bove. I'm so excited to have you join me today.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Excellent. And we have so many different areas to cover. I want first to start with a little bit. I gave your education background, a little bit of your experience. Tell our listeners what you think is probably one of the most important things for them to know about you.
Oh, my goodness, that's a good question. Well, I would certainly say that by heart, I'm a herbalist. I am a naturopathic doctor, but I would say that what brought me to be a naturopathic physician was my love of plants.
Ah, love of plants. Okay, so I know that at the headquarters for Gaia, they will very happily take visitors around to see the different plants growing around the headquarters. So, so important for people to understand the love of plants. So you know about maintaining the soil. You know about the different species, the different types of plants within a species that are therapeutic, and then possibly ones that you don't necessarily want to use. So you have a love of plants since childhood. How did you progress from just that love getting into phytotherapy, herbal medicine?
Ah, well, that was quite a path. So as a young woman in my 20s, I had grown up with a mom who loved scents and loved plants from the garden and flowers. And as I grew into a young woman, I began to have interest in what edible kinds of plants were around me. And I started to learn those. And then I learned about something called herbal medicine. And so that took me to an island off the tip of Vancouver Island called Alert Bay to study with a Native American woman there in the late 70s. And I began my path meeting other herbalists from the West Coast and young people who wanted to talk about medicinal plants. And so in 1978, I opened a small shop in Portland, Maine called Hippocrates Herbarium, which was a herb shop, a little bit before its time. But I did meet a herbalist there from England, and in 1984, I went to England and started my education as a medical herbalist at the School of Phytotherapy, and that's where I began my degree. And coming from England back to the United States, because this is where I lived, I needed to find a licensure that would encumber what I did. So I turned to naturopathic medicine and started my career in naturopathic medicine in the early 90s in southern Vermont in Brattleboro area, and worked a clinic that did pediatrics, home birthing services, and general family medicine for 25 years. And a few years ago, I left the clinical aspect of herbal medicine and went into education, and I work now in education, educating health professionals and lay people all over the country.
Such an absolutely critical aspect, the education of practitioners so that they get the highest quality information and the correct paths to pursue using herbs, because I think that there can be a lot of information out there that might not necessarily hold true across the board, so that in a small section of the population, this herbal approach may work, but for the broader population, there would be other approaches. So that education aspect, I think that is so critically important, and certainly with regard to pregnancy and pediatrics, again, there are so many people out there very fearful of using herbs during pregnancy, so we can talk about that a little bit, and certainly maybe not educated to the level that is necessary using herbal medicine properly with children and infants. Okay, if you would, talk a little bit about herbal medicine. So I think that there are people out there that say, okay, well, you can use herbs for a specific diagnosis. Are there also herbs that you would suggest you can use on an ongoing basis, kind of in the realm of preventive medicine as well?
Absolutely. I think we can look at herbs in a couple of different ways that we can look at it for using if we do have a specific diagnosis of an illness. We can use them preventatively, and we can use them for wellness care. And then I think we can also use them in that gray area where a lot of people feel like their quality of life, their health isn't up to optimal place, and they notice that they're dragging, or their energy or their focus isn't as good, but they don't necessarily have a frank disease, so they're looking to feel better in their day-to-day. And I think the opportunities to use the plants are, you know, given in culinary, so you can include them in your day-to-day culinary practices. They're also, you know, able to do them in beneficial beverages using herbal teas and waters and drinks that are made with herbs, so that you're ingesting them on a regular basis. Or you can use them in more medicinal forms, such as tincture extracts or standardized extracts. And I think the education piece there is to help people understand the different ways in which they can use them. And there's a lot of, we'll say, kind of trendy information that isn't necessarily always steeped in good traditional information. And I think that herbal medicine today, right now, in the current realm of things, is shifting. So we, you know, still appreciate much of the tradition that comes from behind using the plants, whether it's a Chinese tradition or a Western herbal tradition. But at the same time, science and modern research and technology and new novel ways to extract plants and look at their activities have changed and given us more access. So our understanding of plants and plant uses and what mechanisms they might be doing in the body is definitely broadened. And I think we're kind of struggling to find a way to incorporate all of that along with the tradition so that we can, you know, keep the system and the philosophy based in what was the intention and the integrity of the, you know, herbal medicine.
That's so beautifully put, because we do now have access to very high quality, advanced information with regard to chemical structure, the actual activity from different active components from the whole herb. And in addition, I think it is so important to have that background, people to be educated in the traditions, that these traditions go back centuries, and that is how people have maintained themselves over the centuries, and way before we had allopathic medicine become the way to go with regard to a particular diagnosis, that for many years, in addition to the active chemistry in the herbal compositions, there is an energetic aspect to it as well. And people can learn about that when they learned the traditional ways of using herbs. One of the things that fascinates me, and I'm sure you're very, very well able to answer this question, about the timing of gathering the herbs. Do you want to mention just a little bit about that?
Yes, I think that's a wonderful question, that if somebody is growing plants or wanting to do wildcrafting, to look at when one might gather. And what we've learned from new current science is actually, it reminds us that the chemistries in the plants actually change through the season. So we could take echinacea, for instance, and that when someone goes to use echinacea for colds and flus, what we've found through the last 10 years of study is that echinacea in the early part of the spring, the flower heads, are high in polysaccharides that have one particular type of impact in the immune system. But in the fall, the chemistries change, and at that time, those flower heads and the roots have another chemistry, and this chemistry is very specific for prevention of colds and flus, and particularly that cold virus. And so if we're using the wrong part of the plant, if we're using a spring-gathered echinacea for helping to fight that fall cold, we're going to find that it's not as effective. And we see this also with things like hawthorn flowers and lavender flowers. We try to look at what tradition tells us. Tradition tells us that when you pick your flowers, you wait till they first start in their early full bloom. And one of the things that science again is telling us is that things like hawthorn is actually more beneficial in its flavonoids just before it actually opens its buds. So in a tight bud stage, which is a little different from what tradition tells us, but it allows us to hone in on more specifics. In lavender, for instance, you actually let the flowers die back just a wee bit, and you find that the oils become higher at that time. And so it's nice to be able to blend traditional information with science, because science can help us to be a little more efficient in what we're doing.
A perfect blend, science and tradition. I love it. And such great information. That music means it's time for us to take a break here on the Save a Lot Nutrition Hour. I'm Janet Cimarelli. My special guest today, Dr. Mary Bove, and we're talking about herbal medicine and all of the Gaia herbs that are available at the Save a Lot Nutrition Center. Stay tuned, lots more to come with Dr. Mary Bove. Come to my office at the Save a Lot Nutrition Center. I can evaluate your blood work to determine the beneficial activity of your supplements. For comprehensive testing information and personalized recommendations, speak with me, Janet Cimarelli, and get the guidance needed to achieve meaningful results for your personal health issues. 754-307-1655. 754-307-1655. The Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center is located at 3105 North State Road 7, 1/2 mile south of Sample Road in the Penn Dutch Shopping Center in Margate.
Save-A-Lot prices can't be beat. Come find New Chapter, Garden of Life, Mega Food, Kyolic, Quality of Life, Solgar, Nordic Naturals, Nature's Answer, Vibrant Health, Renew Life, Himalaya, Life Flow, Jarrow Formulas Emergency, Enzymedica, Assorted Silvers, Skin Care and Cosmetics. 754-307-1655. Come see us. Come see our fantastic inventory. 3105 North State Road 7, Margate. 754-307-1655.
And welcome back. You're tuned to the Save a Lot Nutrition Hour. I'm Janet Cimarelli, and I'm speaking today with Dr. Mary Bove. She is a doctor of naturopathy, a midwife, degrees in herbal medicine, phytotherapy, naturopathic approaches for pediatrics. And we're talking about the best ways to educate yourself and learn about using herbs properly. Some of the areas that I think can be very questionable is, just as you mentioned, the specific ways of accessing the highest therapeutic value of a particular herb when you're gathering it. A lot of times people might not necessarily use the proper part of the plant. Talk about that a little bit. And unfortunately, when they get a product that is not correctly formulated, they're very disappointed. They have a less than optimal outcome from using that lesser quality herbal product. So talk about the importance of the right part of the plant. Certainly, we now know about the right time to gather the to get the best active components from the plant. And I think that people can get into trouble, unfortunately, using the wrong parts of different supposedly therapeutic plants.
Well, that's a big question, too. You know, there's definitely a lot of variation of quality of plants and plant materials made into herbal formulas and supplements on the market. And I think asking questions about, you know, how they're grown and where they're grown is important. And when you look at the label, it should be able to tell you what parts of the plants are being used. So when they call out the plant name, they also need to call out the plant part. And if we go back to echinacea and look at the plant parts that are used for the polysaccharides, for instance, to build the immune system for someone who has an exhausted immune system where there's, they get one cold after the other, or they have seasonal allergies or have issues with chronic strep throat, then they may want to use the polysaccharide high flower heads of the spring for building their immune system and helping to nourish it and to strengthen the fabric of the immune system. Whereas if you're looking to fight a cold at the moment, I have a cold and I want to take echinacea to shorten the duration and the severity of the cold, then you're going to use the dried seed heads from the fall and the root of the plant. So you won't be using the fresh green parts of the plant at all for that particular compound. And we see that, you know, often there are several different parts of a plant that can be used. They may have different activities. So, for instance, most people think about using nettles in leaf form, and they use that to build their blood or as an anti-allergic tea or tincture. But you can also use nettle seed, which has an effect in boosting the adrenal system and improving energy and mineral uptake in the body and the production of oxygen. So, again, you can use different parts for different purposes. So if I was using the nettle seed to build iron and to work as an anti-allergic, it's not going to work the same as the leaf itself. So, again, I think it comes back to education. Have a good reference book. There are many small community herbalists around the United States now that give courses in their local community and their libraries, and that can be a great source of guidance and information if you're getting started with plants.
We do have so many resources here in South Florida for people who are interested in furthering their knowledge with regard to properly using plant medicine, so to speak. Is your book that you co-authored, Herbs for Women's Health, is that available on Amazon?
That is no longer in print.
Oh.
It has been out of print. It was part of a series that Keats did, and Keats kind of is now part of Macmillan. And it's interesting because I did find one on the internet for sale, and they were asking $1,800, which is ridiculous because it's, you know, all of about 80 pages that a co-doctor and myself wrote, and it's definitely not worth that. I think it sold for $3.99, so I would caution people not to get sucked into, you know, buying something like that.
Okay, very sage advice there. No pun intended. Okay. So are there these tidbits of information available from Gaia so that people can be very specific when they're purchasing a Gaia product as to whether it's nettle's leaf or nettle's seed? So nettle's leaf, a blood builder, nettle's seed being supportive of adrenal health. So they can find some of that information on the labels of the Gaia herbal formulas?
Yes. They can find, you know, very specific information about what formula was or is for the on the label itself. But even better, if you go to the label on the box of the products, you will find a number that's listed under Meet Your Herbs. And under the program Meet Your Herbs, you can put that number right into the website of Meet Your Herbs, and it has that information right on the box. And it will take you to our website, Meet Your Herbs, and you can find out when that bottle was made, where the plants came from. If they were grown on our farm, you can click on that and see in the farm map where we grew it, what date it came in. You can also look at the certificate of analysis. So you can actually look to see whether or not you what the tests were, and you know what country it came from, if we did buy it in, and that it's pesticide-free, that it is heavy metal-free, and that it has been tested for the proper herb and the proper constituents. So not only that, there's some really fun information on Meet Your Herbs, so you can find recipes and other information about its use or the history or tradition of that plant.
Fabulous, fabulous information and great guidance for our shoppers at Save-A-Lot that they can get all of the information that they're interested in. It was interesting because I was in the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center and a gentleman came up to me and he wanted to know whether he should take the whole herb or an extract. What might you have said to him?
That's a great question, because I think there's so much selection when you're out there, and it's hard to know, particularly when you're beginning. Now, I think one thing I would have asked was, like, what was the purpose? Sometimes using the whole herb, like the dried or leaf in a tea form or powdered in your smoothie, is, you know, a great way to use the plant as a food form or a support for wellness, prevention, that kind of thing. Now, if I had a therapeutic need where I actually had a health issue or a challenge that I was dealing with, I might then want to look at an extract form, because an extract form is going to be a little bit stronger of a form, but you still want a full spectrum or a full whole plant extract. So you want to make sure that it's represented the whole plant chemistry in the extract. And their extracts can be tinctures, which are typically one part herb to five part solvents. But there are also extracts that are done with one part herbs and two part solvents, or one to ones. And those are fluid extracts. And that's what Gaia does, is we do one to ones or one to twos, which makes a much stronger extract, which allows us to put a more concentrated therapeutic dose into our phytocaps, which is a novel delivery system of being able to deliver a liquid within a capsule. Because some people do find that liquid extracts can be difficult to comply with because they have tastes that are not always easy for people to handle. So they can be bitter or earthy or kind of dirty flavors. But there also can be really lovely flavors as well, like minty and lemon and fennelly.
And so, yes, the herb tastes can be either very appealing to the user or very off-putting. And so I'm thinking about, you explained the difference between the tincture and the extracts and using something, the whole herb. It could be either as a food or a tea, and used mostly in the way that you use high-quality food. You're nourishing your body in a specific way. And then when you want to address a particular health challenge, you do want a therapeutic approach. So do you have any guidance? Let's talk about echinacea as an example. I routinely recommend echinacea and different forms of echinacea for people who have a low white blood cell count, and echinacea being very supportive of getting that white blood cell count supported, and that in turn means that their immune system is supported, able to address any invader. Are there any foods that people should stay away from with specific herbs? So I'm thinking mostly about echinacea. Can it be combined with, let's say, garlic, for example? Can things be combined very nicely? Should they wait for Gaia to provide the combination that, with the research available at Gaia, we found these to be the most promising as a therapy? Do you have any guidance with regard to combinations?
Yes, well, I think, you know, you have some choices. So the consumer has a choice where they can, you know, go with combination that might be provided by the company like Gaia does. And typically with our formulations, we're looking at guiding ourselves through what we know from our information from tradition and science. And so formulations can allow someone to be able to buy a pre-mixed formula, so that which would have several different herbs in it. If you're the kind of person who wants to play around, and maybe you like mixing and creating your own formulas, then you might, you know, indeed want to be able to buy single tinctures, single extracts of each herb. So maybe holy basil, maybe you buy some licorice, and maybe you buy some echinacea. And with that echinacea, you know, particularly like looking at, you know, do you want a full spectrum, particularly if you're going to use that to build the immune system. So you'd want a full spectrum extract, and that then you could mix those and match those up yourself. And so that would also just make sure that you have the proper dose based on what's on the label and what strength you have. I think as far as compatibility, echinacea is extremely compatible. What we've found with echinacea overall, that it's a generally safe plant, that it has low side effects. There are some people who have allergies to the aster family, or what used to be called the daisy family. So if you're a person who has allergies to that family, I might caution you that if you're using compounds that are made with the aerial parts of that plant, you could have a sensitivity to that. So that was probably the one that I would call out the most. But generally in foods, I think you would find that, you know, if you wanted to mix echinacea and garlic together, you'd find they are very compatible. And if you look at many herbal formulas that are put out there for colds and flus, you'll find that echinacea and garlic are actually often mixed together by the herb companies when putting out the formulas.
Excellent, excellent advice, particularly at this time of the year where people may be experiencing some weather changes and making them a little bit more vulnerable to circulating colds and flu. That music means it's time for us to take another break here on the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. I'm Janet Cimarelli. Joining me today, Dr. Mary Bove, doctor of naturopathy, a midwife, and herbalist extraordinaire with lots and lots of information to share with us with regard to properly using herbs and how to choose the product that's going to work best for you. Stay tuned. More to come.
When you support your probiotic status with Best Biotic, you are on the way to overall good health. Your brain benefits with Best Biotic. Your immune system benefits with Best Biotic. Your digestion benefits with Best Biotic. Who doesn't need that kind of broad support for health and well-being? Enhance your health with Best Biotic. You can learn more at Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers and find Best Biotic at incredible savings. Call 754-307-1655 for more information.
Health and happiness are high priority, but so is the health of your budget. That's where Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers addresses all of your health and nutrition needs with EDLP. Everyday low pricing. No need to wait around for special sales. Every day of every week, you can find the health-supporting items you have come to rely on at the prices that fit your pocketbook. Info at SaveALotNutritionCenters.com. And welcome back. You're tuned to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. I'm Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor, and I should let everyone know that I will be available at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center this afternoon from 2 to 6. So if you have any questions about your supplement program, dietary choices that you're making, a particular health challenge that you are focused on, come on in and see me this afternoon from 2 to 6. And then I will be at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center tomorrow, Saturday, from 12:30 to 5:30. And so those are the 2 days that I will be available. I will not be available next week. So I will be off next week from the 18th. Back in the store on September 25th. So from September 18th to September 25th, I'll be back in the store on Tuesday, September 25th. But I will be away starting on the 18th. Then Wednesday, the 19th, Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center will be closed in observance of Yom Kippur. So make a notation on your calendar. Wednesday, September 19th, Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center will be closed. And so keep in mind that in addition to the access to information that I'm able to share with the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center customers, we have experienced assistance available at the store. People at the store with years and years and years of experience in guiding people to beneficial products for your particular health challenge. So one of the things that I tell people when you come in to see me, if you have recent blood work, please bring that. If you're taking medication, make sure that you let me know what those medications are. And most of all, if you're taking supplements, for me to know exactly what supplements you're taking. And right now, we are so fortunate to have Dr. Mary Bove, doctor of naturopathy, midwife, phytotherapist, expert in herbal medicine, and we're talking about ways of making choices with regard to the best approach for whatever your health situation might be. I have a question with regard to therapeutic herbs, therapeutic use of herbs, and adaptogenic herbs. And There may be a little bit of confusion on the part of our listeners that they might not necessarily know that there are two categories like that. Would you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I'm not actually clear as to what you're asking. I think you're asking me, is there a difference between adaptogens and therapeutic plants?
Right. That,
all right.
Yes.
And I would certainly say that I do think that adaptogens have a place in therapy and that they are therapeutic plants. At the same time, adaptogens work to help protect us from stress and help to mediate the effects of stress in the body. And because we have stress every day, different levels, different amounts, but we have mental stress, we have spiritual stress, emotional stress, physical stress, and these stressors all wear and tear on our system. And so adaptogens can be used on a regular basis, on a daily basis, both in food form, in sugar form, or tea form, to help to mediate our daily stress so it doesn't build up. And if it builds up, it starts to play havoc in our immune system and our nervous system and our endocrine system. So we want to be able to find ways to protect ourselves daily and to be able to balance and revitalize ourselves each day from the stress that we have. So adaptogens play that role. And yet at the same time, things like holy basil have a very strong effect on inflammation, and the COX-2 inhibitor of inflammation. Things like withania has effects in the immune system and building the white blood cells. You talked about that with echinacea. Well, withania is what, you know, has that effect and helping to improve overall immunity in that way. Or we may look at something like rhodiola, which we know is a wonderful adaptogen, but it also has, you know, great effects on mood issues, particularly depression. So I think there are therapeutic applications for adaptogens, and I also think that adaptogens are really user-friendly on a daily basis.
Excellent. So the amount that you're using, would that be changed from when you're working to make a specific change in a system of your body, either support it or reduce the intensity of that system, and then you've reached your goal, you've achieved balance, and you want to continue it. So would you reduce the dose?
Yes, I might reduce the dose or even the form at that point. So if I've had a therapeutic use of the adaptogen, we'll say I've been using, you know, a combination of holy basil and eleuthero and ashwagandha, and then I finish that and I feel like, wow, I've really achieved my goals in health and I want to maintain that. So now I may go from using a capsulated extract to a tea form, and now I might use holy basil in the evening time to wind me down, and use the eleuthero. I might use that either in a solid extract, which is kind of like a molasses paste, which is very nice, put on your toast in the morning. And so those ways, you can also make a butter from the holy basil leaf and use that in your cooking. So there are other ways to, you know, support yourself with adaptogens by having them on a regular basis. Put a half a teaspoon of powdered ashwagandha in your smoothie, or make, you know, nut raw peanut butter balls with, you know, powdered adaptogens can be very supportive. Older seniors might want to make or use adaptogens such as bicopa, which can, and saffron, which can really help with cognitive function as we decline. So I think there are places to continue to use foods. And one of the nice things about science right now is that science is looking at the benefits of foods. So that if you're using herbs, aromatic plants in your foods, they're looking at, how does that affect you? If you use a lot of aromatics, like you cook with rosemary and sage and thyme and basil, and they're frequently in the dishes that you're eating, that is actually shown to have benefits on a day-to-day basis. So I think it's important for us to recognize that plants and foods make a big difference on our day-to-day health.
It's I love the peanut butter bar suggestion. What a great idea. And literally so easy to do. And then you can carry those around with you. You have that access whenever you want it. And that the information with regard to the combinations of foods and herbs. Okay. A suggestion with regard to possibly an herbal support for digestion and combining it possibly with something that typically is hard to digest. What digestive aid herbs might you tell people they could get started with?
That's a great question. I think, you know, I'd fall back on the traditional formula, Swedish bitters. And Swedish bitters is just a wonderful formula that was formulated for supporting digestion. So when we think about digestion and supporting digestion, there's all kinds of parts that go into that. There's important, you know, secretion of enzymes that are important. There's the mucosa that's important, the lining of the digestion. There's the ability to be able to move that through the gut. So the Swedish bitters work very nicely on all the aspects, all the different pieces of digestion that go into what it takes to actually get our energy and our nutrients from our food and take it through the digestive tract. So, and Swedish bitters are, you know, easily found. Many people can find them. That typically you take a dose about 15 minutes before you eat. You can take that in a small amount of water or directly on your tongue. And the flavor of the bitters in your mouth actually triggers the communication signal to your digestion to get ready, you know, start gearing up for the fact that food is coming. And bitters can also help to support the whole aspect of, you know, bowel function and improve absorption of the nutrients that you're taking. So using bitters with your food can actually improve how much of an impact and how much nutrient availability there is to you from the food that you're eating.
Is it appropriate to use the Swedish bitters? Gaia has Swedish bitters spelled a little bit differently than typically
yes.
You're going to find
yes.
bitters identified. Is it appropriate to use the Swedish bitters and a digestive enzyme, or would you say that this is a very appropriate way to begin to prime your digestive system and you might not necessarily need digestive enzymes?
Absolutely. I think it's a wonderful way to prime your digestive system, and it often can be used without digestive enzymes. I think sometimes there are some people who have compromise secreting digestive enzymes, and then they may actually want to use them together. And I think the thing with the enzyme is it just provides that particular enzyme, and it does go into the enzyme cascade of communication. But the thing about the bitters is that the bitters is actually multi-action in its effect. So there are multiple types of things that it's doing, which really kind of works more in that broad sense. So sometimes in therapeutics, you might actually start somebody off using HCL or digestive enzyme, and then after a month or two of that therapy, you might switch them to use bitters and have them do about 3 months of bitter therapy to help get everything kind of back into its own maintenance and, you know, be more broad in the effect.
And you mentioned taking the Gaia Swedish bitters before a meal. If people are experiencing some discomfort after the meal, can they take another dose?
Yes, they can. And sometimes what people find is that they forget to take their bitters before their meal, and then they finish their meal, they feel a little oversatiated, or they feel a little bloated or too full. And so at that point, yes, you can use the bitters, and they'll have a little different effect. They'll help to get the digestion moving a little bit. They'll diminish some of that overstuffed feeling that people get. But in the long run, if you can remember to take them before, you'll find that you don't feel so bad afterwards.
Excellent. And we do need to take another break here on the Save a Lot Nutrition Hour. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm speaking with Dr. Mary Bove. We're talking about Gaia herbal formulas and single herbs. And we'll be right back after these messages. Mr. Al Foreman and his team are working very hard to stock the Save a Lot Nutrition Center with the best supplements, the best beauty care, the best organic groceries. But the best of the best is the prices. EDLP, everyday low prices. We invite you to come and see what we're creating for you, the savvy health food shopper. Come see us at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center, 3105 North State Road 7 in the PennDOT Shopping Center, 1/2 mile south of Sample Road in Margate, 754-307-1655, 754-307-1655.
Join our mailing list and get advance notice of the great events that take place at Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center in Margate. Health support groups, nutrition education groups, special training events. You will know about all of them when you like us on Facebook. SaveALotNutritionCenters.com, 754-307-1655, 754-307-1655.
And welcome back. You're tuned to the Save a Lot Nutrition Hour. I'm Janet Cimarelli speaking today with Dr. Mary Bove, and we're talking all about what you need to know, herbal medicine. And just a reminder, I mentioned that on Wednesday, September 19th, the Save a Lot Nutrition Center will be closed for Yom Kippur, and that I will be out of the store from September 18th through the 24th. I will be back in the Save a Lot Nutrition Center on September 25th with my usual hours. You can find, if you haven't been to the Save a Lot Nutrition Center, you can find the Save a Lot Nutrition Center in the Penn Dutch Plaza in Margate, just 1/2 mile south of Sample Road on the west side of State Road 7. The address is 3105 North State Road 7. If you're using your GPS, my suggestion is put in Penn Dutch Plaza, and it will take you right where you want to go. And if you want further instructions, directions, information, hours, all of that kind of information, 754-307-1655. 754-307-1655. And this fascinating discussion about herbal remedies and herbs for supporting health and herbs added into your diet. And keeping in mind that this has been a way of maintaining all of the systems of your body for generations. Traditional medicine is essentially what herbal medicine is. And so some of the questions that I'm asked have to do with safety. And people may be very concerned that they might not necessarily have the right approach for using a particular herb. When you go to Gaia, is it going to meet your herbs? Is it on the Gaia website? Tell us a little bit more about that.
Actually, we have a Meet Your Herbs website, so you can find it through the Gaia website, or you can look right on the box, and there'll be the meetyourherbs.com website and the number that you put in about the product that you're using. So you, if you look on the side panel of the box, that will direct you there to that. And not only will you be able to learn about the product that you're, you know, having right there in your hand, you can also learn about many other herbs or other products while you're there on the Meet Your Herbs platform.
You, with your experience and education as a midwife, you have experience using herbs with during pregnancy, and it's an area that I think that many clinicians shy away from, and so might women who are either pregnant or seeking to become pregnant get the kind of information they need at meetyourherbs.com?
No, not providing therapeutic information in that sense, and particularly around pregnancy and lactation. So I think there, because that's a special state of health, in the sense that when you're pregnant, you have particular health needs, and you have different changes in the body, and you have, you know, the fetus growing within you at the same time. And so here I would say you really should seek out the expertise of a herbalist or a naturopathic physician or a midwife that's worked with herbs. And there are a lot of midwives that have been training themselves on using plants and in their practices, so that I think we'll find a lot more health practitioners in the midwife role as being educated in that form. And I know, for instance, like the Midwife Association of America, that in their conferences they offer education on using herbs and herbs that are friendly to be used in pregnancy. And so I think there that's important, because there are herbs that are safe in pregnancy, but they really have to be thought about which ones you're using. Some that are more applicable in early pregnancy, or that might be contraindicated in early pregnancy, and could be used in the latter part of pregnancy. So you really do want to have guidance around that. I think we do see a couple of pretty standard remedies right now in the main media. So many people know that ginger has been looked at in pregnant women who have nausea and vomiting of early pregnancy, and that it's been safe, and they've determined, you know, safe doses within that. So I think there's a bigger comfort level for people who are looking to use ginger to deal with the symptoms of nausea and vomiting in early pregnancy. I also feel like that people have began also to look at using other kinds of plants in pregnancy, like raspberry leaf as a tonic, and there's some guidance within that, and there's been a lot of safety studies on that. So that's, those are kind of now a little bit more mainstream. But overall, I think if you are pregnant, you know, consulting with a practitioner who can guide you with choices and help you to see what plants would be definitely contraindicated that you want to avoid. And then there's lactation, and lactation similarly, I think it's important to have good guidance there. There is some great information online about herbs in lactation as far as plants that show up in the breast milk and that type of thing. And again, there are many plants that can be applicable that are very useful. For instance, holy basil. Holy basil is what we call a galactagogue. That's a plant that supports lactation, both the production and secretion of breast milk. So very useful. And there's that will bring its adaptogen and its relaxing, calming qualities, as well as helping to support breast milk production and secretion. So that's a plant that would be more user-friendly at that time for a woman.
Fabulous. Soothing and calming for mom, and I'm assuming passing on some of that soothing aspect to the baby. We talked about bitters and digestion, and that's a very common issue, certainly during pregnancy and unfortunately throughout the population. Another big aspect of concern is quality sleep. Do you have any suggestions for our listeners with regard to a better night's sleep with Gaia herbs?
That's a great question, and I was thinking that I had wanted to revisit the point about the adaptogens, and that brings us to sleep in the sense that adaptogen could be adaptogens that are more supportive to the sleep cycle and the night cycle. And so using adaptogens like ashwagandha and magnolia bark in the nighttime can be supportive to the night cycle. And there are a couple of aspects about sleep quality, is that it's important for us to be able to fall asleep, but it's also important for us to be able to stay asleep and to go through the sleep cycles and the restorative qualities that happen both for mind and body when we sleep. So using adaptogens will help with sleep architect and keeping the quality and the restorative sleep supported. Using herbs like valerian and kava and skullcap and chamomile, these plants can all help support getting to sleep, relaxing the muscles. Passion flower is a wonderful plant for helping to relax the body and relax the chatty mind and help to support the ability to be able to fall into sleep. So I think using herbs that we call nervines, like the valerian, the passion flower, the kava, to help aid getting to sleep. But if you wake up during the night or wake up too early, you may also want to combine those plants and use herbs that are adaptogen in supporting that nighttime cycle. Like I said, ashwagandha, magnolia, mimosa, though that combination is a very nice combination. And in Gaia Herbs, we have what we call Adrenal Health Nightly Restore. And Adrenal Health Nightly Restore is a combination of the plants that help us not only get to sleep, but actually help the adrenal cycle at night to be a restorative cycle. So for us to actually process our stress better. And then our daytime formulas are, you know, forms of adaptogens that support the day cycle. And if you have a strong day cycle that's normal, you're more apt to have a better sleep cycle. So using adaptogens along with sleep herbs makes a big difference in helping to get the sleep back to what we would call healthy, regenerative, and refreshing.
Excellent, excellent, excellent information with our listeners. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. And I look forward to sharing this information with some of the people who come to see me at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center. So Dr. Mary Bove, thank you so much for all of your expertise. To our listeners, thanks so much for tuning in to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. We will be back on Friday at 10. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour with your hosts, Mr. Al Foreman, and licensed nutrition counselor, Janet Cimarelli. Remember to tune in again next Friday at 10 a.m. and find out more about EDLP. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.